Well, good morning to each one. We're a blessed people today. We have much to be thankful for, and it is because of Jesus Christ. My desire this morning, as we heard in Sunday school, that the Lord would give utterance and special anointing this morning by His Holy Spirit. I feel especially inspired for this message this morning. For you dear ones here in Shawnee, if you're here this morning and you're wondering if God cares about you, if you're wondering if God knows about you and has your name before Him, if you wonder today if there is hope for you, if the gospel extends to you personally, I trust that this message will be a special encouragement to each one of you. And the message this morning that I feel inspired that the Lord has given me is that Jesus Christ is our high priest. He is your high priest. And He is our intercessor. And I'd like to start in the 28th chapter of Exodus. In the 28th chapter of Exodus, and maybe we'll give just a little bit of background. We're going to pick up after, you remember when Moses was with the children of Israel and the Lord called Moses to go up onto the mountain. And it said that there was a mist, you remember, that came over the top of the mountain. And He called Moses up and the children of Israel looked up there and they saw this mist up there. And it said that it was up there for about 6 days, and on the seventh day He called Moses to come up where he was. And Moses was up in the mountaintop, it said, for 40 days and 40 nights. And it said that the children of Israel down below, when they looked up there, it said that the glory of the Lord appeared as unto fire, something like that, that they could observe from down below. And Moses went up there for those 40 days and 40 nights, and that is when the Lord gave Moses the commandments. It's when He began to give him the direction for building the tabernacle. And there was something else that He began to outline to Moses when he was up there, and that was the institution of the priesthood. And I want to start there. In the 28th chapter of Exodus, and we'll jump around just a little bit as we set the foundation. The first verse says, "And take thou unto thee," this is the Lord talking to Moses as he's up on the mount, "and take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and Eleazar, and Ithamar, and Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty." And in the ninth verse, we'll skip over to the ninth verse, it says, "And thou shalt take two onyx stones, and grave on them the names of the children of Israel." And it said, "Six of their names on the one stone, and the other six names of the rest on the other stone, according to their birth, the 12 tribes of Israel. And with the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet, shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in ouches of gold." And the 29th verse said, "And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goeth in unto the holy place where the Lord was, for a memorial before the Lord continually." I'd like us to get a hold of what it was that we just read. It said that Aaron was made garments for glory and for beauty, representing the glory and the holiness and the purity and the goodness of the office of the priesthood that he was being ordained to. And it said, he told him to take two onyx stones. Now, an onyx stone is like an agate, a pretty stone with bands of color, something beautiful. And he said, take those two stones and engrave upon the stones the names of the children of Israel. Now notice that he didn't say, scratch out the names of the children. Take a nail and try to scratch in. Have you ever taken a nail and tried to put, you don't have to admit to it, but have you ever taken a nail and tried to scratch your name on a rock or on a piece of wood somewhere and you try to make it look as good as you can make it? Sometimes it's eligible and sometimes you can't read what it is that somebody was trying to say. But in this case, the Lord wanted it to be very clear. Have an engraver do it. Make sure that you can read what it is that's being said. Very clearly, the names were showing up on these rocks. Engrave on these rocks all of the names of the children of Israel. And then take those stones and put them on the breastplate that you will wear. A breastplate that goes over his heart. And then that was to be worn by Aaron when he went in to the house of the Lord, the tabernacle, into the presence of the Lord. Aaron was to be a representative of the children of Israel. The names of the children of Israel was at his heart. And it was to be a reminder to Aaron, oh, I am representing the names of all of the children of Israel. And when he went before the Lord and came in the Lord's presence, there was the names of the children of Israel. There they were, written out there. And it was Aaron's responsibility then would go in and bring before the Lord the needs of the people. The needs of those, the desires, the places where they needed help. It was Aaron's responsibility to come before the God Almighty with their names clearly written out. No mistaking who it was that he was representing. And would bring before God, Lord, here are the needs. And God is the one that instituted that. Aaron didn't come up with it. Moses didn't come up with it. They didn't say, hey, let's put our names on a list and take them before God. God instituted this. God the Father wanted this to happen. He's the one that said, write their names out so that I can see very clearly what the names are on the stone. So that you remember, Aaron, who it is you're representing. Do you see this beautiful picture that's beginning to take place? This was a plan that extended many years before Christ ever came, and it was a type and shadow of things that were preparing to come, where Jesus Christ was going to be our high priest and our intercessor. Let's fast forward to the New Testament, the second chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews 2. And there's a lot in there. You can read through there. The Lord was very particular about how those robes looked and how those names were fastened in and what that breastplate looked like. It was important to God that this was to be done right, and it was going to be something beautiful and something that was effective and something that worked and something that was personal. Very personal this morning. Hebrews, the second chapter. We'll read the 17th verse. It says, wherefore, in all things it behooved him, talking about Jesus Christ, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest, thank the Lord, in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of his people. For in that he himself had suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Folks, he understands us. God knows your need. Jesus Christ came down to the earth so that he could understand what it was that we were going through, so that he would understand what temptation meant, so that he could understand what it meant to be left out, so that he could understand what it meant to perhaps feel despair. Know what it means to be in the garden sweating great drops of blood saying, oh Father, please, Would you let this cup pass from me? He knows what it feels like to feel over your head, so to speak. And that was the plan that God came up with. That was a plan that Jesus Christ was willing to become part of so that He could know us, so that He could know you, so that He could know what it was that our needs were, so that He could be a faithful high priest. Hebrews 4 and 14, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest in Jesus Christ, thank the Lord, that is passed into the heavens." Jesus Christ is not here on the earth. Our high priest is now in the heavens, sitting at the right hand of the throne of the Father, making intercession for us. "Seeing then that He has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, given all of this, let us hold fast our profession of faith." We have much to hope in this morning. Don't give up. Don't despair. Hold on. Hold fast to the profession of faith that we have this morning. It goes on, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." That means we have a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. When He looks down and He sees your need, He's touched by it. It means something to Him. Oh, He takes it seriously. He regards it. He takes it to heart. And that was His plan. "But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Therefore, what does all of this mean? "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That's the word of the Lord to us this morning. We can come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Why can't we come forth boldly? Is it because we have something to offer? Is it because somehow I have earned my way into heaven? Is it because of my own righteousness that I can come forth boldly and brazenly before God, the Father, the Creator? No. It's because of Jesus Christ, who is our high priest. We can come forth boldly to the throne of grace because Jesus is there being our representative. We have an in with the Son of God, who has our names written in His heart. And He cares about us. And He wants to look after your needs. And when you need mercy, you say, "Oh, well, this is just for those that are living a perfect life." This said, when you need mercy, when you fall short, when you need help from God the Father, don't despair. The Lord is sitting at the right hand. He has your name. He cares about you. He recognizes you as His child that wants to serve Him, that's looking for help, that's looking for forgiveness, that's looking for extra power and grace that perhaps you didn't have. And He says, "Come boldly to the throne of grace. I've already paid the price on the cross. I paid the price for you with my blood. It's okay for you to come and present yourself. Don't let the enemy tell you anything else. Come boldly to the throne of grace that we may find mercy and grace to help in time of need." Hebrews 7 and 25. It said, "Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing that He ever liveth to make intercession for them." Did you catch that? He's able to save us to the uttermost. Saints, this is wonderful news this morning. Wherever you've been, wherever you are, whatever things have happened in your life, the Scripture promises us and tells us He is there to save us to the uttermost. Amen. Nothing left undone. Regardless of what's in your life, He can save you to the uttermost, where it's thrown as far as the east is from the west. He can remove our transgressions. He can pull us out of those places where we need help and we don't see a way out. And it said that He ever liveth. Isn't that what it said? He ever liveth to make intercession for us. To me, that's saying that's one of His primary purposes, is to stand up there beside the Father with our names, looking down, saying, "Oh, wait, there's one of my children. They're in trouble. They're praying to me. They need help. That's why I'm here. I paid the price for this. Father, that's one of my children. They need help. Lord, they're feeling desperate right now. Lord, we need to pull them out of this situation. They don't see a way out. They don't have a way out. But Lord, I can make a way out. Father, this is what I want to do." And it's Scripture tells us that God ever hears His Son. There is a story that's told, and perhaps you've heard it. It's a story that's told with some differences in how it's told and challenges, but you can look it up. There's a story of a painting that was in a museum in France. And the title of the painting was called Checkmate. And it had a picture of a chessboard and pieces on the chessboard. And on one side was the enemy, was the devil. And he had a very confident, smug, arrogant look on his face as he was looking out across the chessboard. And on the other side of the chessboard, there was a young man that was forlorn looking, sad, dejected, in despair. And the title of the painting is Checkmate. Those of you that play chess, you know what checkmate means. Checkmate means game over. Checkmate means there is no other option. There are times when you may say check, which means you are potentially in trouble. You need to get out of this situation. You need to find a way to get out, or else you're going to have your life taken. It's going to be game over. But when you get to the place where the other party says checkmate, that means you're done. Game over. And the title of this painting said Checkmate. And the enemy was smugly looking out over the chessboard. And the man on the other side was dejected and forlorn and leaning down in despair. And the story goes that there was a chess master that came by one day and looked at that painting. And he studied that painting for a little while and suddenly exclaimed, "Listen, there's a problem with this. The way that the chess pieces are set up, the enemy is not winning. There is yet another move that the king can make that will make a way of victory for the man that is feeling so dejected and down. This picture is a lie. It's not true. It's not representing what the facts are." And I want to say this morning that many times the enemy would like to come our way and try to tell you, checkmate. It's over with. You have no other moves to make. Your life is at its end. There's no hope for you in this place. You have failed. You've played the game of life and you have come up short, and now you have no moves left. But I want to tell you this morning, thank the Lord, we serve a God. We serve a King who yet has another move to make on our behalf that can bring us to victory. Wasn't it Isaiah who assured the children of Judah that God would always provide a way of escape? Paul reminded us, there is no temptation taketh unto man, but that the Lord would help us and make a way of escape. We serve a King today who cannot be checkmated. We serve a King who has a Son that sits at His right hand that is ever there to make intercession for you and for me. That regardless of what has happened in our life, regardless of how dark it looks ahead of us, when we look out and we see no way ahead, when we, maybe it's not that we're not even saved. You know, sometimes the enemy can come along and paint such a dark picture before us, try to cause us to think, well, your children, this is going to happen, or your job, or your health, or your life, or your place in the church, or your neighbors think this, or at school. It goes on and on. We live life that has so many inputs to it. And the enemy is so quick to come in and say, checkmate. This is the end for you in this area. Might as well give it up. We do not serve a king that can be checkmated today. And he knows your name. And your name is written there in those place of his heart that is most important to him. I want to read a verse in Isaiah. In the 41st chapter of Isaiah, listen to this encouraging passage, the 10th verse. Fear not. No, we'll go to the 9th verse. I have chosen thee and have not cast thee away. Thank the Lord. Sometimes the enemy comes along and says, yes, you were chosen of the Lord some time back, but unfortunately for you, you have failed and you have now been cast away. That is a lie of the enemy. The Lord does not cast away those people who come before Him with sincerity of heart, with humility, with fruit meet for repentance, with tears of humility. Lord, help me. I need help. God instituted a priesthood. He instituted an intercessor for us with our names written that could look down and say, I will not cast you aside. I have yet another move to make on your behalf. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Talking about God, talking about Jesus, talking about the Father. I will help you. I will pick you up. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. 13th verse, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not. I'll help you. I will help you. Don't be afraid. Don't let the enemy say, checkmate, and believe it. It's a lie. It's not true. That is not the plan. That is not why Christ shed His blood on the cross. That is not why He defeated death in the grave and resurrected on the third day. He made that plan and did that for us so that during those times when we might feel dismayed with ourselves, He can step on the scene and say, wait a minute, there is yet another move that we can make on behalf of my child. Be not dismayed. When the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none. You look around, there's no water. I'm at my end. I'm gonna die of thirst. What does it say? I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places. How many have seen a river in a high place at the top of a mountain? I haven't. Rivers happen after all the water starts to accumulate and then creates the river. You say, well, there can't be a river up here. I'm stuck. Listen, God can create a river in high places. It says that He can have fountains in the midst of the valleys. And He will make in the wilderness a pool of water, and in the dry land springs of water, and cause trees to grow where trees should not grow. Isn't that a wonderful passage and promise that God gave us? We are not in a checkmate position. Recall the boy on the side of the hill with the multitudes of people that were sitting there hungry and needing something to eat. The boy offers up, what was it? A couple fish and a few loaves. The enemy looks at that and says, ha, checkmate. You don't have enough to go around. Everybody's going to go hungry. No possible way here. They gathered up 12 baskets of food after all was said and done and everybody ate. Daniel in the lion's den? Surely checkmate. Oh, you tried to live for God. It looked like you were doing what you were supposed to do, but they have caught you and now it's time to go in the lion's den. This is the end of you. Was it the end? Was it checkmate? No. God had another move to make. He went down in there and closed the lion's mouth, something we would never think about on our own. The three Hebrew children, oh, they stood strong. They looked at the king and said, we are not careful to answer you in this thing, O king. We will not bow down to the graven image that you've erected. We are not going to do that. And the God that we serve, He's able to deliver us. But if He doesn't, be it known unto you this day that we will not bow down. Was that strong faith rewarded with them not being thrown in the fiery furnace? No. They picked them up and carried them to the fiery furnace. Checkmate for them. Wrong. Three people turned to four people walking around in that furnace of fire. And the king was looking in there, thought that was going to be game over for them. And he was going to move on. But then he looked in there and he saw four people walking around. And he said, did not we throw in three people? And yea, the fourth man looks like the Son of God. Oh, the high priest, our high priest, your high priest. The same one that walked in the fiery furnace is the one that is sitting at the right hand of the throne of the Father with your name making intercession for you. The thief on the cross, oh, it looked like he was out of options. Oh, he had lived his life. He was a thief. He had no opportunity to demonstrate to the Lord that he was going to do some good works to be able to get into heaven. Checkmate for him. He waited too long. Wrong. Oh, the Lord looked out across over there, shedding His blood, and saw the opportunity to allow the power of His blood save that man's soul. And He looked at his heart and saw the tenderness and the repentance that was in his heart. And He said, this day, you're going to be with me in paradise. The woman that was brought before Jesus by the Pharisees, they said, Lord, this woman has been caught in adultery. Do you know what the law said to do with those type of people? Stone them. I don't recall anywhere in the law where it gave a way out for that situation. If there was, they wouldn't have brought her to Jesus and challenged him thus. Looked like checkmate for her. She violated the law. Nothing in the law. No, the Lord had yet another move to extend on her behalf. He said, woman, where are your accusers? She said, no man, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Gave her the hope again. Oh, you have another opportunity. You have another opportunity to have a victorious life. You don't have to be checkmated. This doesn't have to be the end. You don't have to despair. You say, well, I've never been thrown in the lion's den. I've never been in a fiery furnace. I've never been brought before the Lord in that situation. But you know, I thought about Peter. He walked on the water for a little while, but then he lost faith and he began to sink. And the Lord could have said, Peter, I helped you. I answered your request. You walked on water, now you're sinking. Checkmate. No, the Lord reached down His hand. Jesus Christ, our High Priest, our Intercessor, looked down and He saw Peter reach out His hand. Lord, would You save me? Lord, would You have mercy on me? Would You have compassion on me? And the Lord reached down His hand and He grabbed a hold of him and He picked him back up. All I want to tell you this morning, Jesus Christ is our intercessor and high priest who cares about us. He can take that which seems in our lives to be worth nothing. He can take those parts of our lives where it seems to us like we have reached the end and we are not worth anything. And He can come on the scene and He can turn things around like we never thought possible. I want to read you this morning. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin. But he held it up with a smile. What am I bidding, good folks? He cried. Who will start the bidding for me? A dollar? $2? Who will make it three? $2 once. $3? $3 once. $3 twice. Going? But no, from the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and he picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loose strings, he played a melody pure, sweet as caroling angels sing. The music ceased, And the auctioneer with the voice that was quiet and low said, "What am I bidding for the old violin?" And he held it up with the bow. $1,000? Who will make it two? $2,000? Who will make it three? 3,000 once, 3,000 twice, going and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, "We do not quite understand what changed its worth." Swift came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune, and battered and scarred with sin, is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once, he's going twice, and he's almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd can never quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Our lives this morning, they don't have to be worth a dollar, maybe two. We don't have to despair this morning of finding ourselves in a checkmate position where the enemy comes along and says, "This is it. You're not worth anything anymore." For we have a high priest, Jesus Christ, who is our intercessor with our name written on his heart, sitting beside the right hand of the throne of the Father, making intercession for you. And our lives today can be enriched and tuned and changed beyond our imagination if we'll apply ourselves to understand and experience the change that's wrought by the touch of the Master's hand. I'm thankful this morning for that high priest, Jesus Christ, who loves me. He loves you. And there is nothing that can happen in this life but that if we'll come before the Lord with whatever our care is, whatever despair we may be feeling, whatever darkness may be in front of us or before us, we can come before Jesus Christ, our high priest, who will make intercession for us with love and with care. May God encourage each one of you this morning, and the God of peace be with each one of you. Amen.